Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, a daily Pennsylvanian podcast about diversity, equity, and inclusion. My name is Liv Yoon, and I'm your host. As a quick refresher, I'm a sophomore studying communications, design, and consumer psych, and identify as a bisexual Korean-American woman. Today, we are recording with our new episode with Lamise Habila. Our food of the day is boba. I actually got mine from Tito, and Lamise's is from Gongcha.
I didn't know that you were going to Tito. I would have literally just let you get it from me from Tito. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, no, no. Don't be sorry. I live in the Meridian, so it's like literally right there. So Lamise is a good friend of Angel, who was our guest for the third episode of Breaking Bread. And Angel told me she'd be an awesome fit for this podcast. So I'm really excited to see what she has to say. So without further ado, let's get into it. First, I want to say hello and thank you for coming here today.
Of course.
If you want to just start with a quick introduction, with your name, year, major, hometown, pronouns, and then any parts of your identity that you feel are relevant and comfortable sharing.
Okay. So like she just said, my name is Lamise Habila. I'm a sophomore in the college. I'm studying political science with a concentration in American politics, and I'm minoring in Africana studies. What else did you say? I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm African. I'm a Muslim. That's me. That's it.
cool. So what Angel mentioned is that you're part of The Inspiration, which is a predominantly Black a cappella group dedicated to music written and performed by members of the African diaspora at Penn. Can you tell me a little bit more about this group and why you decided to join and get into it?
Yeah, so The Inspiration was founded in 1989. And like, if like, you know, Penn culture and you know, like the arts culture, a cappella is pretty huge here. But a lot of the Black students felt like they didn't really have a place within that, especially with the type of music that we do. So The Inspiration is meant to like, not only just be a place for Black people to feel comfortable and sing, but to also uplift music that's written or performed by Black people. That's why it's like a really important part of what we do. But yeah, that's just like the main message, like creating a space for Black artists and then also making sure that we're giving credit where it's due.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys just had a show, right?
Yes, we had Love Talks and Soul Jams with the Exlano Project, which is a spoken word group. They're amazing. Love them so much. But yeah, we usually do a collaborative show. It's like the Valentine's show with them every year. I think this is the third or fourth year that they've done it. But yeah, we had that last Friday.
So what were some, I guess, like songs or artists that you performed at your show?
So for Love Talks and Slow Jams, we usually do a very short set list compared to like our normal shows. So we do like 6 songs. We did Good Woman by LaPortia Renee. Moving On by India Shaw featuring Anderson .Paak. We did Love by Keisha Cole. We did Nothing Even Matters by Sir. We also did Need You Bad by Jasmine Sullivan. Okay. But yeah, it was a really good show. I really liked the set list.
That's awesome. So what originally drew you to join the a cappella group? Did you grow up singing? Did you do anything related to that in high school? And was there a moment or a factor that really made you decide, like, this is something I want to be part of at Penn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so growing up, I played the violin and I used to sing a lot. That's just something that I got with my mom. Like, that's just a bond that we used to have. In high school, I also was in choir. Like, middle school and high school, I was in choir. But the type of music that we were doing was a very Christian, which is very different for me because I'm a Muslim.
Yeah.
And also it was just a lot of white people, like just like where I was from. And I just didn't really like vibe with it. And I didn't really like see myself going back into singing as much. Like in college, I wanted to audition for the orchestra at first. Okay. But then one of my friends, it was Rissa actually, she had joined Inspiration because she's actually an alumni of the group. Like her dad was in it when she,
that's
really
crazy.
Okay. Chaz Howard, love that man. but she joined the group our first fall semester, freshman year. And I wanted to join, but then I went to Made in America and lost my voice, so I couldn't even audition. But yeah, it was really bad. But I don't know. I went to their show my first fall semester and I was like, I really liked the songs that they were doing, and it was the first time that I was in a music space and I was like, I know this set list, like, oh, it's people that look like me on that stage. Mm-hmm. And even though like I was really nervous about the thought of performing, because it's very different from going from a choir to a group with like only 15 people and you're doing like hella solos. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I went to the auditions and I'm really glad that I did. I felt like it was like a time for me. I had friends in the group, so I was like, why not? But yeah.
Okay, cool. How do you think this a cappella group has shaped your experience at Penn?
I think it's really important to have like kind of like family away from home, and I think that's exactly what inspiration is for me. Like obviously like I have my close friends, but like this is a group of people that like all collectively are interested in this niche thing that we all share. And I think like we do a big part for the Black culture here by making sure we spread awareness about the type of music that we do. So it's just like it's nice to have a space where I actually feel completely like myself. I think the most that I am at myself is at practices. So I think that's just what they've been to me, been for me. I think it's like now we're like actually like a family. I was very anxious when I first joined the group, but like as time has grown, like I found a place there. There's people that I depend on. I'm living with one of them next year. So it's just nice to have like that type of family where we all have like this one like really important part of ourselves that we all connect with each other.
Wait, that's awesome. I think that's something that is really important, like mm-hmm. what you were saying, just to have a family away from home. And I think that's something that a lot of people have been looking to find mm-hmm. and even just struggling to find, I think, in their first couple years at Penn. So I think it's really cool that you definitely just have that.
Yeah, it's really crazy, too, because, like, from where I'm from, like, yeah, Penn's PWI, but, like, Missouri, like, it was PWI.
Yeah, that's a different story.
So to come here and, like, see something like that, I was, like, really surprised. Like, I've never heard of something like that back home. And I never even really did a cappella music, but, like, just, like, the Black aspect really drew me. So,
yeah. So I guess moving on with that, what does it mean to you to be performing music from artists of the African diaspora, especially, I think, growing up in a place like Kansas City?
I just feel like a big part of our value of our group is just like making sure that this music continues on, because I feel like a lot of the times when there's songs that are written by Black artists, yeah, like they have longevity within our community, but like I like the beauty of the fact that, yeah, we have a mostly Black audience, but we also do have a lot of outreach, like just with like the general like Penn vicinity, like there's a lot of different like ethnic groups that come to our shows. So I think it's just like showcasing that Black people do have beautiful voices, we have beautiful music, and especially like the songwriters, because Black songwriters are really like disrespected in the industry. So I just think it's so valuable that we actually take the time and effort into not only like all the music that we do, we arrange by ourselves, like we listen to it and we place the notes and we place the parts by ourselves, like that takes time.
Oh wow.
And like okay. Shows where we have like 15 songs, like we're arranging those 15 songs like individual people. Okay. So not only like just like putting the time into making sure that we're respecting these artists and these writers, but just like creating like that, like taking that diaspora and just like bringing it to Penn, and making sure like that all these careers, like they're not forgotten. Like there's songs that I had not heard from years and we bring it back, and it's just like bringing that respect, because I feel like Black artists, like the industry lacks a lot of respect for them, and just people mm-hmm. in general lack a lot of respect for them. So we're just kind of like, we're going to make sure you respect them by performing their songs. So it's a really important part.
Yeah, absolutely. thank you for speaking on the inspiration. I think that's so cool. And then I wanted to pivot a little bit and talk more just about your specific identity. And I wanted to ask if there have been any challenges or struggles you faced with your identity at Penn, whether that's been social, cultural, academically, professionally, and if so, you know, what are they and how you've overcome these challenges or I guess reckoned with them? Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the issues that I face with my identity more so come from like the academic and professional area. I think socially, like Penn does a good job of creating spaces for people. I know like it's a little bit difficult, but I think like a lot of the people of color at this school and a lot of like the underrepresented groups do a good job of making sure that we have a space for each other. Mm-hmm. So I think socially it's like fine. Academically it's a little difficult, and especially like for me, like my major being poli sci and being in those poli sci classes, it can be very like, I'm not a person that would be shy, but sometimes I find myself like holding back from answering questions in the classroom or speaking just because like how I'd be perceived as being a Black woman, and just like knowing that I had to like work really hard to get here, and a lot of women of color have to work so hard to get here, and just having people around us like not take it seriously or not take what we say seriously is very frustrating. And then in just like the professional sense, like it's so hard. Like, yeah, like I worked hard, I got to Penn, but the fact that I still have to go through that struggle, like there's more barriers because now I got to go for internships, clubs, and like just like getting entry level jobs after we get out of here. Like it's like there's a never ending barrier, but it's just getting moved up and up as we're moving throughout the world. So I think that's like the issues that I've had in like the academic and like professional sense just at Penn.
Wait, I definitely get that. I feel like it's such a big accomplishment to come to a place like Penn, but what I think I've realized since I've been here is that it's honestly only the beginning, mm-hmm. and I feel like it almost just gets amped up the more that we're here. And so I think I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, I'm a communications major, but I also do a minor in consumer psych, mm-hmm. which is in Wharton. And and just like the difference that I experience in terms of like comfortability in the academic setting from communications, which is very predominantly woman, mm-hmm. Versus going into like a marketing class in Wharton is just night and day, honestly. And I really think it just speaks to like, I didn't even realize, I think, because I also grew up in a very predominantly white area, just how much, like, even just the people and the demographics that are in your class in the academic setting can really just affect your confidence and your ability. My eyes were really open to that mm-hmm. when I came to Penn. So I definitely resonate with that.
Yeah, especially in the Wharton classes. Like, oh, my God, bro. Or, like... Like, obviously, like, my minor in Africana studies, like, yeah, there's going to be a majority of black people and people of color in the classes. But, like, the switch from me going to introduction to Africana studies to then going to, like, a class that's, like, modern political thought. Like, what is going on? It's yeah. so ridiculous. And it's just so upsetting, like, to feel like you're being silenced before anybody has silenced you because you know what's going to happen. You know, like, what people think of you. You know how people perceive you. And, like, we shouldn't have to live our lives like that. But that's just, like, how the system is. Like, they're always set up to win and we're always set up to have to like work even though we're 10 steps behind every single time. But yeah
I'm curious though, how has it been being in an academic setting that's predominantly black?
It's so comforting and it's so healing. Every single Africana class that I've taken, like, not only is like majority of my friends are in there, but like I never feel worried about raising my hand in the class. I feel like the professors are so much more understanding too. And like a thing that I've noticed is like you always like notice like those little like microaggressions that like professors mm-hmm. hold, because they have them. But like I think like in high school I never had a black teacher. Like, I never really thought about it because, like, the norm was white where I was from. But, like, going here in the first, like, semester that I took, I think I had a black, not only a black professor, but a black female professor was very empowering. And they're so intelligent, and they speak to you as if they understand that you also go here, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like at Penn, I naturally assume everybody around me is very smart. Like, I'm not going to, like, regardless of, like, where you go, I'm not going to talk to you like you're an idiot because it's, like, basic human decency. But yeah, I've had absolutely. People talk to me as if we don't go to the same school. But, I go to these classes and my professor is, like, calling me smart. And I just have never experienced that in some of my other classes that I am attentive into. So, it's just, such a comforting space. And, like, I feel like I can fully learn, like, you know how I'd be in classes when you're doing work for other classes or whatever, but in, like, introduction to Africana study, like, I'd be locked in. Yeah. I'd be making dead eye contact with the professor, because you're right, like, I am intelligent, and you are intelligent, too. Like, it's just so comforting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking my first Asian American studies class mm. with an Asian woman, mm-hmm. and I think I had the same experience. I never had a teacher of color, mm-hmm. Just ever, mm-hmm. until I came to Penn, and, like, wow, the difference is just actually insane.
It's so healthy.
And it just also, I agree with you, it just incentivizes you to just be engaged more and to mm-hmm. actually care about the material that you're learning. Mm-hmm. So that's just been an awesome experience. And I'm glad you've been able to have that experience.
I'm glad you have that too. That's so important. It's so healing.
It is. And I guess that kind of moves into my next question of how you celebrate and express your identity at Penn. If there are any specific activities, communities, or practices that help you do so, I'm sure the inspiration is one of them.
Yeah, I feel like I find comfort in, like, if there's any, like, holiday or something important to my identity, like Black History Month, or I'm a Muslim and, like, Ramadan is coming up and Eid is coming up, like, I have a community of people that I can go to. Like, during, like, Ramadan, like, we do iftar dinners because, like, we fast during the day. So I have, like, a all-Muslim friend group. Like, we'll have an iftar dinner together, or we'll go celebrate Eid together. So it's just, like, it's nice to know that I have people, like, within my reach to go to these things too. Or, like, I know, like, a lot of the clubs in the Black community, they always are hosting events. Like, they are working. So it's always nice to know that I can attend those events and just, like, have comfort with that, too. So I think, like, just, like, from being, like, a Black Muslim in that perspective, like, I always have people that I'm surrounded by that I can celebrate the things that are important to me with.
Yeah. Is there a large Black Muslim community at Penn?
Not as much. Like, there is, like... It's strong because, like, we know, like, that we're very small. Because, like, the Penn's Muslim community is big, I will say that. But the Black Muslim community is not as big, which is, like, kind of frustrating.
Okay.
So we just, like, find things to do by ourselves. Or a lot of the times we end up doing stuff with, like, Drexel and Temple. Oh, so it's, like, more, like, of an outreach, which, like, it's nice to connect with other people of other schools. And I would have liked to do that regardless. But, like, it's a very small community here.
Yeah. I think in some ways... It kind of sucks that you have to do that outreach.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you feel like you fit in with the larger Muslim community just as a Black person?
I think it's very difficult. I don't think that they, like, individually, like, the non-Black Muslims at Penn, like, they're not, like, disrespectful. They're not, like, going out of their way to, like, keep us out. But there's, like, an overall issue, like, outside of Penn of, like, Black Muslims feeling very left out of the Muslim community, just because, like, a majority of Muslims come from, like, the Middle East, like, Arab population.
Yeah,
and there is a lot from the African diaspora, especially in East Africa, but, like, just, like, with some certain issues, like, sometimes I did feel not as included. This has, like, been an issue even from when I was home too. And I've gone to an MSA event, but it's a bit tricky. Like, it's just a bit tricky. Like, there's, like, nobody to blame, but you can ask the majority Black Muslim population here and they would say that, like, there is a bit of a disconnect. But yeah.
Okay. So with your Black and Muslim identities, do you feel most comfortable in the Black community rather than the Muslim community at Penn?
I would say I do.
Okay.
I would say that I just think it's also, like, to be fair, like, the Black community is bigger. Mm-hmm. Also, like, the Black community here is mostly African. So I guess I would say, like, I have that advantage of being able to, like, fit in with them more. And, like, all the Black Muslims that I know here are also really a part of, like, the Black community as well, too. So that's very nice. I feel like I myself should take more initiative with, like, the Muslim community here, especially because I have friends who are, like, not Black Muslims. Mm-hmm. But it just feels a bit more difficult. That's just, like, a thing I've had my entire life. Like, I had to switch to a masjid that, like, had, like the mosque, like the house of prayer for Islam. Mm-hmm. That was more diverse compared to the ones that I would go to that were not as diverse.
Okay. So from your perspective, how do you think Penn or similar institutions can better support diverse voices and ensure inclusive spaces, especially in the arts?
I think the biggest issue is that they just don't listen. Like, that's just, like, the first step. It's very basic, and, like, you would think that I shouldn't have to tell people to listen to people who are misunderrepresented, especially with the arts, too, since that's, like, a very, like unique field. But, yeah, like, they just need to listen. Like, that's, like, an issue that we have all the time. I'm a part of, like, this branch of student government called NEC, and we do this thing called UC. Like, we help organize it. And it's, like, basically, like, misunderrepresented groups, they apply, they interview, and they get a seat at UC, which is University Council. It's once a month, every Wednesday. And it's, like, basically, like, the board, like, the university heads are supposed to sit there and listen to their statements. So, like, there's groups like Umoja's there, they have a representative, the MSA has a representative, Page has a representative, ASAP has a representative. Like, it's all these people from these clubs that don't get enough representation at school to speak, and even then, like, they are not listening like they should. And, like, it's crazy because, like, when they do listen, like, big things happen. Like, because of UC, like, the P1P office is here. Like, that happened a few years back. So, it's just, like, there's so many there's so much progress that could happen. But because they're not even taking the time to, like, listen to these people, which is, like, these are students that go to the school that you work for. Like, you would think that you would take the time to listen to their needs. Especially because, like, the entire world is ignoring them. So, why are you as an institution ignoring these students as well? So, it's just so frustrating because they just won't take the time to sit. Like, I know there's so many student activist groups that, like, have been shunned from even speaking to, like, the president or, like, just, like, anybody who's in charge. And if they just, like, took the time, because they're acting like they don't have the resources and they're acting like they don't have the time, but they do. They just don't care enough.
Yeah. I think since I've been here, I've really noticed a lack of importance that the university, a lack of emphasis and appreciation for the arts and for underrepresented groups. I think it's become very clear what the university is really, I guess what the university truly cares about at its core. And I think sometimes that's disappointing because I think especially when it comes to performing arts and just any creative organization, I think there's so much talent, like an incredible amount of talent. I always tell my friends, like, if this was at NYU, these, like, shows would be, like
they'd be
sold
going crazy
out.
Over it, which is, like, not even, like, just, like, be that way, but my group, like, is full of some of the most talented people I've ever met. Not even just, like, sound-wise, like, musically, like, to be able to listen to a song and completely recreate the song by your own just by listening to it for a couple of hours is so hard and complex. To be able to, like, just able to hear a note and just know what it is. Like, there's so many people that I'm surrounded by that are so talented, and they, like, we're just not getting the platform. Or there's, like, other cultural groups that I've heard, too, and I'm just, like, they're so talented, and they're just not getting the time of day, which is just so frustrating. Because imagine putting in so many hours in your week, and you're preparing for this show, and, like, preparing for the show, it takes a lot. Like, it'd be making me want to drop music because it's so stressful. Just, like, to not get the attention that we deserve. And it's, like, I don't think it's, like, very, like, self-centered for me to say that we are talented and we do put in the work and we do deserve as much attention as some of these other groups. Like, it's just, it's very frustrating.
No, absolutely. I hear you on that one. Okay, so unfortunately we're running low on time, so I want to just leave it to you and say and see if you have any last comments or thoughts about what we spoke about today.
Oh my gosh, these are really good questions. You really you had me thinking. I was like, dang, what was my experience at Penn like? Like, how do I feel about this institution as a whole? But yeah, that's all. I've said my piece.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you so much for giving us some great insight and coming on today and just taking the time. I really appreciate it, and
of course.
Hope you had a good time.
Great time.
And then stay tuned for the next episode, guys. Thank you.